Who are you?
The Stills.
Who is in the Stills? Please elaborate.
Me.
And who are you?
Tim.
And Tim, please introduce the rest of the Stills.
Greg, Dave, Oliver.
Can you do that a bit quicker?
Tim, Greg, Dave, Oliver.
And you are Tim of the Stills. No, Tim of the Stills. Are you a pepper?
I am not.
I am a pepper. We're all peppers except him. He's an English muffin. That's the slang for a bloke or a squarehead.
Square.
Yeah, please explain the pepper phenomenon, because you guys are from Montreal. You're living in New York, or at least playing gigs there.
We don't live in New York. Not even. We've been touring the world for like 9 months. We played like 3 gigs in New York.
Well, I know you're from Montreal. That's why I say you're peppers. Yeah. But you've brought pepperisms to New York. So can you explain about pepper, saying the word pepper in New York? That's very foreign, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody knows what a pepper is in New York. But I think the root of pepper, I think, has to do with Pepsi. A pep is because Pepsi was a few cents cheaper than Coke back in the day. And so the French Canadians like myself would buy Pepsi instead of Coke because it was a bit cheaper. So people called them peppers for that, and that's why we're peppers. But I don't really drink Pepsi, and now Coke is drank way more in Quebec than Pepsi, so I don't know if it still stands.
Now, what about Tim? So Tim is not a pepper?
No.
And why is that? Why is Tim not a pepper?
Because his parents are repressed Brits.
It just didn't work out. It just didn't work out for me. Yeah. I got screwed.
And who are you?
I'm Oliver from the Stills.
Oliver, you're also known as Andy?
Dick.
And you've met Andy Dick, haven't you?
Yes, on multiple occasions. And I've spoken to him on the phone.
How many times have you met Andy Dick?
I met him at Coachella, then I saw him in LA, and I called him a couple of times.
Have you ever been mistaken for Andy Dick?
Only if somebody can lend me a pair of glasses.
Has having Andy Dick in the band helped at all?
No.
It hasn't helped you at all?
Have you ever seen his show?
No, I haven't, actually.
Me neither, so I don't think it's helped.
How about you guys, the Stills, playing the MTV Music Awards?
Sorry?
Can you play like the MTV Music Awards or some movie award party?
We did like some MTV after party.
What was that like?
It was very LA.
In what way?
It was clean. It was very clean and it was very expensive. And you couldn't smoke.
And there's a, you know, I don't know if it's like L'Oreal bronzing lotion. I don't know what sort of brand they're using right now, but there was a lot of that sort of like, it was very orange. There was a glow, this orange glow going on that was sort of strange. It was like being in a dark room, you know, because it was dark, but there was like a, you know, some lights.
What celebs were hanging out there, Tim?
It was very much an E-list celebrity kind of event.
What's wrong with E-list? Don't we love the E-list? No, like, tell me about the E-listers, the Stills.
No, E is when it starts to get interesting. E to J is really interesting. Yeah, that's like the pocket that I think is the most interesting. Jessica Paré, who's sort of like royalty in the E-list. There's a lot of people I just sort of recognize as human beings, but not celebrities. There's just, you know, a mishmash.
Juliette Lewis was supposed to come to our show, and she asked for like 6 guests, but she didn't show up.
But you put her on the list, though.
But she called to be on the list, but she didn't come.
I don't think she has any comments. I have no comments.
And who are you?
I'm Gregory from the Stills as well. We're all in the same band.
No, Gregory, how are the rest of the guys doing? Are they representing the band quite well?
I think so. If you take a look around the room, everyone can stand on his own, and in the context of this unit referred to as the Stills.
And you guys are indeed the Stills, but lately you've been kind of angry, haven't you?
It's because we've been on tour for too much. We've been on tour too much, and we want to kill everybody and ourselves. Like last night, me and him like had like a knife fight, but it didn't. Like our manager stopped us, and
they were plastic knives, but plastic nonetheless. Knives.
But we're next tour. We're gonna bring like some jousting, you know, devices to really get it out when we're on the road.
Well, man, you're really angry these days. For instance, your lyrics. You're talking about M16s. You're talking about grenades. You're talking about chemical blasts. You're really angry.
No, no. I wrote those words, and I wasn't. I was just angry at George Bush. I wasn't angry at anybody else.
Chemical blasts. So that's scary.
Yeah,
that's scary for a bunch of peppers from Montreal.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, very, we're very scared.
We're part of the FLQ as well, so you guys better watch it, because that chemical blast is coming. Well, this is a bit far, but Ontario is going to get it.
We've been dealing with mailbox bombs in Westmount for many years. We're used to this kind of stuff.
And you are the?
Stills.
From?
Montreal.
From Montreal. However, you were reviewed in the Village
Voice.
From?
New York.
And they called you guys multilingual art school socialists.
Yes.
Is that a good description?
I think the Medicare thing in Canada really threw them off, and they were really afraid of us, and they were like, that's why they called us socialists, is because they thought there was, you know, Medicare is a communist thing in the States, and so that's why we're socialists.
In New York, is it hard to find any Quebecois-isms? Is it hard to find any...
There's a place on 2nd Avenue that sells poutine.
Yep.
That's true. That's true.
And this news, Justin, is it true that the guy who invented poutine died?
I think maybe. I don't know.
He's in my family, actually, and...
The actual guy that invented poutine is their family?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Guy Lafleur and all those cats, you know, they're all in my family, and they'd play, you know, hockey at the auditorium, you know, in Verdun. And the guy came up with the whole thing, you know, back in like, you know, maybe like the 50s or the 60s. And, you know, it was a really sad thing and everybody mourned. But he was a great man, you know, he was a really great man.
So he's been dead for a little while?
Yeah. Massive coronary, man. Yeah. He had a cheese curd stuck right in there, man.
No, I heard it. The guy who invented poutine just died recently.
Maybe. He wasn't on the Atkins diet, I'm sure.
Wow, that's a real diss to the poutine.
Yeah. I love the poutine, man.
And you are?
Dave.
Of the?
Stills.
In?
Vancouver.
Oh. B?
C?
Yes, sir.
Canada! Tim of the Stills.
Yes.
I understand after a gig, somebody came up to you and said, you moved me.
Yes, what happened,
Which is very nice, you moved me.
Let me enlighten you to my brilliance, all right? When we were in New York 2 summers ago, we did lots of moves for people, meaning we moved them up and down stairs and apartments and stuff like that. And then after one of our first gigs, this girl came up to me and said, she said, you moved me. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she's like, no, you moved me. And I was like, oh, yeah, thank you. She's like, no, you moved me from my apartment to the other apartment. And then I was just like, dope, and I was an idiot. And then someone printed it in a magazine so people can see how bright I am.
But we should investigate that a bit further. Moving. Why did the moving happen? Because?
We were broke.
And who hired you?
Our producer.
Gus, who you were on stage with at a Fugazi concert.
Years ago? And this is what I want to ask you guys. Can you please sing the praises of me, Mom, and Morgenthaler? Like, they are very important with the Stills and for Canadian music, aren't they?
Yes. They're very, very, they were our heroes, and that's why we got them as our managers.
And that was Gus from Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler, who took you in, and Adam as well, right? He took you in Montreal.
His name's not Adam. His name is Baltimore Bix in Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler.
Right. So, I understand. How did you get from Montreal to New York? What happened?
Well, Gus and Bix moved there 6 years ago after Morgenthaler broke up. And then one day, Gus was in town for Easter in Montreal visiting his parents, who are Italian. And you have to go to fucking visit... Shit. You have to go visit your family, your Italian family, for Easter. And so, we were like, let's start a band. And he said, you should move to New York and stay with me and Bix, and we'll be your managers. And so we did that, and that's it.
It's so awesome that Mima Morgenthaler helped out the Stills.
Yes, it is.
It all goes back to the ska, doesn't it, Oliver?
Yes, it does.
I mean, ska is great. Ska is what really formed the band The Stills. Yes. What can you tell the people about this? Can you hold this for a second, please? What can you say about this, Dave? Who are these people right here? Please explain.
Some of these people are us, and some of them aren't us. We used to be in a ska sort of new wavy band called The Undercover.
Which you're proud of.
Very.
Except Oliver is maybe not too proud about those glasses.
No.
You know, I was very young at the time, and I was trying to see the world in three-dimensional, but it didn't.
And over here, is that Tim that I see?
Oh!
Oh. Tim, what is going on there with the ear piercing?
That's my eyebrow. That's not my ear.
Pierce your ear?
No.
So where is Dave in this?
I'm here, but these guys don't exist anymore.
They went away. Yeah. They're disappeared.
Yeah.
Because that is a beautiful picture of early Stills. Early Stills.
Very, 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 very early.
And of course, the Undercovers had some ska elements, right? Although you kind of moved away from that, right?
We moved away. We put out we did a second record that was like this, like there was a lot like the Stills, but nobody cared about it then, except for Gus. And our label, which was a ska label, was like, we can't do really much with this because you're not ska anymore. And so we broke up. And then years later, we were like, let's start a band again together. And that's what we did.
So here we have the Undercovers. Uh-huh. And now we're looking at you right now. We're looking at you. You're still. So you've turned into that. No, you've turned out of that.
Out of that, yeah.
You've turned out of that. But let's look to see what the other guys in the band went on to actually form. The other guys are in a band, aren't they, as well? These are the other guys, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, my God.
What? That's now, could you explain, please, if you could explain here, Dave, tell me a bit about this picture and the other guy here in the band.
Okay. That's Jay. That's Jean.
Can you just do a little comparison if you could, please?
This is JS, and that's JS there. He's in a band called Les Six that I did know about, but I didn't know they'd be in a paper. And this is really weird. I've never heard his band. I see him when we go to Toronto. He split to Toronto because he was sick of the Peppers. And so he's doing that now.
Kind of a gothy thing it kind of looks, gothy. Doesn't it?
Me and Liam, this guy who plays with us now, after this band, played in a 60s frat garage band with Bobby Beaton from the Gruesomes called the Fez Tones as well.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about some more was, what can you tell the people the importance of the Gruesomes? Like, we ask bands from Montreal about different bands inspires them, but these guys, the Gruesomes, they deserve some props, don't they?
Well, what I really think is strange is...
Actually, anybody deserves props as long as we cover this photo, right? Okay, that's what you're thinking right now, aren't you?
All right. Well, these guys are the Gruesomes, and this is a real garage band. See, the Strokes are not a garage band. This is what garage music is supposed to look like and sound like. And,
What does it sound like?
Sounds like cardboard. But we played in a band, me and Liam played in a band after the Undercovers with Bobby and John called the Fuad and the Fez Tones. And because ska, garage, mod, all that sort of stuff was very interconnected because it was part of like one sort of subculture. People think that the English beat's not cool now or that the Specials aren't cool, but they all were rude boys like, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 10, or 12 years ago. So we're proud of liking the Specials. So fuck you if you don't.
So now you continued on to do the...
Stills.
What did you think of the Gruesomes there, Tim? Like, what were you doing at that time?
I was about 7, and I wasn't very much concerned with that, really.
The Stills. Let me do a little quote about Les Six. And again, Les Six are who?
A guy called JS that we used to play in a band called The Undercovers with.
This is a quote about the band. J.S. Roy, I first saw him when the Les Six guitarist was 15 and playing in the adorable teenage boy Montreal ska band, the...
Undercovers.
The Undercovers. You were so adorable, weren't you? It really...
Well, we're still adorable, I think.
Exactly.
And we might have grown a beard and we have... You know, we went through puberty, but I think we did all right, you know?
Yes, you're still looking good, because that moves on to my next quote here. The Stills were in Teen
Vogue.
Teen Vogue, where you were described as dreamboat caliber handsome.
Well, you know? There you go. That's it.
But, I mean, you started early because you were in the adorable teenage boy band, The Undercovers.
I know. We modeled ourselves about... after the teenage boy band, the Gruesomes.
Now, it's been speculated, perhaps, that you might make yourself less attractive. You were saying you're going to make yourself less attractive.
Yes, scarring cuts to the face.
You know. So would you go back to this look? Would this look turn off the Stills fan base, do you think?
I think we were thinking of going back to it. Actually, right after this tour, we're going to go and change our looks back to this.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I do, too.
And you were called the Un...
Der?
No, the Undies.
The Undies. Hey, we're the Undies.
The Undies. You were called the Undercovers. Now, is it true that you guys got ripped off in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, twice trying to buy pot?
That is so true. That is so true.
How the fuck do you
know that? Twice you got ripped off.
How do you do it? How did you find this out? That we got ripped off for pot in Surrey?
It's not very often that Peppers get ripped off 3 times by the same guy.
JS got ripped off, and a couple other people in this band called Gangster Politics. And they got ripped off.
What happened? Like, does Canada always rip you off, or should I say British Columbia?
Well, I think it was Nazis or like skinheads or some sort of action like that. I don't know. They had knives and they wanted our money, and we were dreamboat pretty boys, so we didn't stand much of a chance.
Easy prey.
Are you guys always messing with the cops? Because didn't one of your drivers hit on some undercover cop or try to kill him?
Yeah.
We were in Chicago on a tour about 4 months ago, and this cop in the street was telling our driver, Eddie Eyeball, to move his truck. He's like, what the hell are you doing? You got to move this thing. What, are you an idiot? And he started swearing at our driver, Eddie Eyeball. And so Eddie Eyeball is like, the guy's a plainclothes police officer. He's like, if you don't step back, I'll beat your ass. So the guy said, would you beat the ass of a police officer? And held up his badge. And there was a whole melee thing that ensued. And there was trouble. But it all worked out quite well.
And it wasn't even you guys. It was your driver.
It was our driver, Eddie Eyeball.
So, like, you're getting in trouble buying pot in Surrey, BC. You're getting messed up. Your driver's getting you in trouble. Are you always finding fights?
Yeah.
I'll tell you another story. We were, like, in New Mexico or Arizona, and we stopped at the only gas station that probably existed in that whole part of the state. And Tim was on the phone, and there was this kind of rundown church, and the whole thing was broken. Every window was broken except for one. And there was a little gas station, and there was a church. So Tim was on the phone. He was kind of throwing rocks at the church, you know, absentmindedly. And he broke one of the windows. So I'm buying, like, a bag of chips inside, and this crazy hick walks in, and he goes, somebody broke the window to the church. Call the cops. And I go, that's where we're the only ones here. Who would have done that? And Tim comes back. The guy starts screaming at him. And I walk by with my bag of chips, and I kind of laugh and chuckle, like, haha, Tim's getting in trouble. Then I went, wait a minute. So I went back, and we started screaming at the guy and going, relax, it's run down. You know, he's like, you desecrated the house of God. And we went, well, you haven't been upkeeping it very well either. So, and this whole argument ensued. And he's like, I'm not going to call the cops. Just get out of here. I'm like, all right. So we get back into the van. And then Dave goes, I got to post a letter, you know. So there was a little kind of, like, you know, postal thing. And, you know, he kind of knocks on the door, like, I want to post this. And the guy comes up. He goes, what, you're going to break the window to post it? Dave looks at him. He goes, no, I'm going to go get my gun. And then he kind of walked away, and we left. But that's, you know, we always kind of get in trouble. And we shouldn't, because we're very skinny.
What were you going to say after that, though? Do we always get into fights? You have a lead-up question there.
You're very good, Dave.
Yeah. What are you leading into here? Let's go.
Okay, well, what I'm leading into, you can't wait for a suspense, is... well, it's from this magazine right here, Venus Magazine. In an interview with fellow Montrealers, the Unicorns, there's an interview here with fellow Montrealers, the Unicorns, where they say, you know, who can you kick the ass of? Distills is obvious. We already beat them up.
Neil Diamond could fucking go. I actually love the Unicorns, and they don't like us. They were in a ska band too, and, like, we played a gig together years ago, and, like, in Vancouver, because they're from Vancouver. We played this.
From Courtney.
They're from Courtney.
Campbell River.
We played this ska show in Shaunigan Lake, and they were in a band, a ska band there too. I can't remember what the name of it. They were opening for the Undercovers, and then we played some shows with them, and they don't like us.
No, why does this feud exist? Do you think this is not a joke? I think they're just joking. They're just trying to start something,
yeah,
you know?
They wanted to start a...
Like Ryan Adams and the Strokes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, or Blur versus Oasis. That's what they told us.
Yeah, but the only problem is that when the Strokes and Ryan Adams go into a feud, they're both very good bands. And then when Oasis and Blur get into a feud, they're both very good bands. When the Stills and the Unicorns go into a feud, it's completely ridiculous. They're not a good band at all, and they're not doing... You know, we don't care for them, so we didn't start the feud. It's like, what? And now we have to because you brought the article. And now, you know,
the Unicorns are a good band.
I don't, you know,
they have some good tunes. Like, couldn't they just be joking? But the main thing here is, if they're making fun of you for being a ska band, we love ska, because without ska there would be no
there'd be nothing,
there'd be no pierced eyebrows, there'd be no crazy sunglasses.
I don't think the ska was the pierced eyebrows and the sunglasses. The sunglasses maybe, but not the pierced eyebrow. That was just the early, mid-90s.
The late mid-90s.
But you're not really seriously taking this threat here from the Unicorns, are you? This is just kind of a joke, isn't it?
Well, when I get home, I'm looking for Neil Diamond, actually. Neil Diamond, I'm looking for you. I'm going to fucking kick your ass.
Please watch out, Nicholas of the Unicorns. Please.
It's gonna be Fago if Fago going at it.
Stop, my hair.
Canadian indie rock beef.
Yeah. I don't know.
They could probably beat us up anyway, so I don't think we should. You know, I don't think we should fight anybody. I think the only band that I ever met with that was smaller than us was Franz Ferdinand, and even then, they're Scottish, so they'd probably beat us up. So I think, you know, we won't be feuding.
And you guys are the
Stills
from
Montreal.
I was wondering, Stills, Ryan Adams, he freaked out one night at an audience because he read a bad review of the Stills.
Yeah. We were in Minneapolis and we both got bad reviews in the local paper, and it was the end of the tour right before Christmas, and we played our set and we did our best and it was really good, and then he went on stage and all technical problems broke loose and they had to like break down and play acoustic on little wooden chairs and stuff, and then that screwed up and Ryan Adams was pissed because he got a bad review, and then
he told Paul Westerberg to go piss in the roses like 5 times.
He said he's, because Paul Westerberg said in an interview that he wanted to kick Ryan Adams' teeth down his throat. So in Minneapolis, Ryan Adams has the balls to say, Paul Westerberg, I'll kick your teeth down your throat, you old man. Come on, let's go. And then, and everyone was sort of like, this guy is crazy. And then he went on a rant for about 10 minutes, like defending us, defending him.
I think that's great that like he defended you guys, a Canadian band from Montreal, like the Stills. Like he's fighting over your review.
He defended the Undercovers. Come on, how can you even defend it?
Was he mentioning the Undercovers on stage?
No. But he wanted us to go on stage because we started a band with Ryan Adams.
Hornet, right?
Yes. And when he was in his drunken haze, he was like, hey, Dave, man, let's go Hornet, man. Let's kick it. Fuck, all right. But it didn't happen.
So message to the Unicorns, we got Ryan Adams on our side.
Yeah.
And he's crazy.
I just thought it was great, though, that like he got super mad because he read a bad review of you guys. Of you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, like you guys, that's great. Like not other people would even care about that type of thing, would they?
No, he's a very passionate, engaged human being.
And we're nice guys because we're Canadian.
But Dave, you are active, aren't you, David Estills? Like, you leave your drum set to sing a song.
I do.
Like, just like Peter Criss doing Beth.
Yeah, kind of like Peter Criss doing Beth.
If only you could wear spandex and sit on a garbage can.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
So when you leave the drums, sometimes you have drum machine, or does anybody fill in? What goes on there?
Sometimes there's a guy from this band called Broken Social Scene that fills in, Justin Peroff. And sometimes when we're in Toronto, we do a duet with Kevin from Broken Social Scene, because he was a big fan of the Undercovers, and he's followed through with the Stills.
In all your travels, have you come across people that don't know where Montreal is?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a big thing that when we were like more down south, if we were speaking to people and they didn't know what Montreal was, like our paranoia meter would just kind of go up, and we go, okay, we have to go, we have to leave. If you don't know where Montreal is, you've never looked at a map, and that's scary. You know, it's like if I didn't know where Chicago was or Seattle was, you know, so that, yeah, that's happened, and it's weird.
I wanted to ask you guys, winding up, a bit about English versus French in Quebec.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of tension and animosity that is going
on. As represented in this band.
Right, and it's happening as we speak right now. You just don't see it. I feel it. Dave feels it. Like, this is, I don't want to really touch him here. It's kind of scary. But
yeah, this repressed British guy. Yeah, I know. My mom's a bloke.
Because in English, you can say, suck a dirty grain.
Yeah, but in French, it's suce ma graine.
Yes, like suck a dirty grain. That sounds very innocent. Like, let's go suck some dirty grains.
Yeah, sure,
but
yeah.
What does that mean in French?
It refers to the seed of the man's seed.
I think it refers to a small genitalia. See, we all have grains. That's why we always say that to everybody. Suck on my grain. And that's what we do.
That sounds very innocent, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Of course, the French translation is a bit more intense, isn't it?
It could get you into some physical trouble, for sure.
It could get you into jail in some U.S. states.
Do you guys have Quebecois girlfriends?
Nope.
You don't?
Have
you ever had a Quebecois girlfriend?
You have a Quebecois girlfriend.
No, she's not Quebecois.
She's Quebecois.
Yes, c'est pas québécois, je sais pas qu'est-ce que c'est.
Tim, your girlfriend's from Quebec.
Well, Quebec, Italian, Irish, you know, a mix.
Quebec. Longtemps.
Okay,
when you're talking to your girlfriend on the phone, is it true that, you know, French Quebecois girls only have like two expressions that they say on the phone?
Which is the first one?
Like they go la 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 la.
Yeah, no, they don't say that.
And in the second one, they go mu 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 mu.
No, I've never heard of that.
Like when you're talking to your girlfriend, does she ever go la 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 la?
Really not. No.
And not mu 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 mu.
I've never heard that.
Well, what are the characteristics of having a French-Canadian girlfriend? Just in case people are wondering here, from out west.
Well, we speak English pretty much to each other. You've had more French-Canadian girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yes. What are the characteristics?
When they talk on the phone to their girlfriends.
Well, you mean just phone? Strictly phone?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, just phone. I'm just going to stop right now.
Because you are the...
Stills.
You are the Stills, and winding up here, Stills, how embraced are you by Quebec? Obviously, I guess the unicorns want to beat you up, but how about like the film and TV stars? Are they into you guys?
Melissa Oftermar, I just read, is into us.
How about Le Petit V?
I don't know about that, but Roy Dupuis is frequently around. We hang out with him in Montreal a lot.
We've had crazy coke parties with Roy, man. That's been so much fun.
But how about Le Petit V, the Married with Children of Quebec?
I've never watched it.
I've watched that, yeah, definitely. But they're, you know, they're getting old.
I mean, have you been able to get sucked into that Celine Dion scene? Because there's a huge Quebecois market, as you know, like in the 60s.
Yeah,
bands like Les Lutins sold 100,000 copies. Are you adopted by the French-Canadian scene?
Like, you know, if we had a French record, I'm sure.
This last guy, his name is Felix. And me, Felix, and him used to play in a band called Pierre-Alain Faucon. And he was a singer-songwriter, Jean Leloup type. And we, the Stills, just covered one of his songs and recorded it in French. And it's going to be on the Wicker Park soundtrack. It's this movie that's coming out with heartthrob Josh Hartnett.
And it's in French?
No, it's in English, but we submitted a French song.
It was a French movie called The Apartment. That got made into, obviously, Americanified version.
It's really American, the original.
Really? I thought it was really a French movie.
It's based on some kind of French movie, maybe not The Apartment.
Is it based on a French movie?
No.
No? I thought it was. Why are they taking French songs?
I don't know which...
No, we're the only ones with a song in French.
Oh, really?
And you guys are the...
Stills.
Now, you have a song called Still In...
Love song.
Still in love song. Now, Oliver, you play bass, don't
yeah.
you?
Yes, I do.
Have you had any comments that it's a bit like, this is not a love song?
Yeah, I have.
By Public Image Limited?
PIL.
Now, I don't want to start anything where you got to pay royalties or anything, but it is kind of pillish, isn't it? Kind of?
It's really...
It's exactly the same thing.
The same thing. But the thing is that we realized it afterwards.
We have the guts to tell people now.
You know what's strange is that... You know what's really strange is that Gus came up with that bass line, and he's PIL opened for Meemaw and Morgenthaler and vice versa a couple times, so I think that's what happened.
It's a subconscious thing that happened where, you know...
But all your reviews...
I get all the grief for it, but I didn't actually write, I just played.
Because in all the reviews, none of them mention it. You don't see it mentioned. Like, are people not into PIL? Like, don't they know it?
Isn't it PIL or is it PIL?
No, it's PIL.
I don't know. I like saying
PIL, Nardwar.
PIL.
It's PIL.
It's Public Image Limited, and thank you for agreeing that you ripped them off. You're proud. You're Canadian. You're the
Stills.
The Stills. And lastly here, Stills, I'm just curious about Amentum. There's a band called Amentum.
Oh, my God. Fuck. That's crazy. Okay. Me and him were in a metal band. Like, when we were like, okay, this photo was taken when I was 16 there. And when I was 13, I played in a metal band with this guy called Amentum, and we played one show at the Verdun Auditorium. It was like a battle of the bands, and it was like an Iron Maiden Metallica sort of thing.
Did you play Jailhouse Rock also?
Oh, yeah, we played the Jailhouse Rock once. Yeah, it was really, really...
What sort of metal tunes were you doing? Were you doing Canadian metal classics?
No,
it was more like Iron Maiden meets Slayer.
This is pre-undercovers.
This is pre-
So you really have covered all the genres. You've done metal, you've done punk, you've done garage, you've done the Stills, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
Ska.
Yeah, we've done every single type. Actually, I used to also play in this band with this guy called Paul Carniello, who's like this rock reggae dude. He calls himself Rock Reggae Revolution. So I even did Rock Reggae Revolution, and we did like 60s French stuff with this French guy.
But wasn't there some story of how Amentum tied in with Greg? Isn't there some connection there with some girlfriend or something like that?
Yeah.
How do you know this
stuff? Check it out.
Check it out.
I met Tim Fletcher. How I met him was that his best friend when he was a kid, his name is Pete, and Pete went to his high school graduation, and at that graduation he met some girl named Jen, who they started talking, and I knew Jen because she went out with JS, right? And so they started talking, and Jen was saying about how she had a friend, me, who was into metal, and that I should be introduced to Pete, his best friend. So then Jen introduced me and Pete, and then Pete introduced me to Tim, and then we all played in a metal band together. And then later on, that same girl, Jen, who went out with JS, that introduced me to Tim, went out with him and introduced us to him.
All through Amentum.
No.
Indirectly through Amentum.
I've heard of Amentum, so yeah. I don't.
No, we didn't like him at first because he went out with JS's girlfriend after JS.
Well, thanks so much, Stills. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Doot, 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 doot.
Wait a second. I get to do that. Well, thank you very much, Stills, and doot, 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 doot.
Doot, doot.